It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside ESPN's John Anderson, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the John Anderson 7-2.5 Homer Hour. That's what I want to know about Miles Turner. What's your best high jump? At 6'11". John Anderson is not where I am. He's mocking that right now. How could you ever ask him that? Well, if he ever comes on the show, I'm going to have him on with John Anderson. You're 6'11". What's the best high jump you have? What do you think it is? 7'2.5"?
I have no idea, because there's no correlation really between guys who have great vertical leaps and high jumping. Like, they're two different.
Wow.
They're two different. Like, it certainly helps.
Yeah.
But just because you have a great vertical leap does not mean you can be a great high jumper, and vice versa. Like, I don't think I have an outstanding vertical leap, but technically I was pretty good. But yeah, you got to avoiding the bar and not knocking it down. That's a tough gig, man. You know,
I know. So I've tried to impress upon everybody that that's being the case. all right. I'm looking. It does not mention I played basketball. Junior, he high jumped 1 year at 6'6". No, I just made that up. It's in Wikipedia, so I wouldn't have had to make it up. All right, let's go.
That's correct.
I have two theories on the Bucks.
What do you got?
Well, the biggest thing is this is all done for next year. One, you have to do everything to keep Giannis happy, but they have an incredible, incredible opportunity next year. Think very short term, because there are two better teams that will not be better for only 1 year because of Achilles. So you have your Boston out, Indiana out. I mean, they'll still be okay, but you're so you move up to there, and so everything's about next year. You can sacrifice the future, as they're doing by agreeing to some $20 million every year, cap it for 5 years. So what? This is about next year, which Giannis will love, and we got a chance. We should be top four in the East, given those 2 1-year injuries and the players we have. So if it means they're a little worse or worse after next year, fine. You solved your two biggest problems, taking advantage of a 1 year freak and making sure that your guy's happiest.
So arguably, right, yeah, you have skipped over Indiana and Boston because of those injuries. You have now become a better team than those two.
Yeah.
And so that leaves you with who? The Knicks?
Knicks and Cleveland. Like, I'll take my chances with anybody else. And I'm not that sold on the Knicks. What?
They don't have a coach. They have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
Dolan finds his way to sabotage that thing. So I'm with you. We can dismiss them. And then you're Cleveland. You're like, well, they're Cleveland. They're new at this. You know, Kenny Atkins, pretty good coach over there, and they have guys, but they have not shown that they've gone deep in a playoff run yet, which it seems to me that every team that eventually wins a championship has to go through a couple of rounds of disappointment in the playoffs. So I can see where they can get
back. Well, I mean, the Bucks are not winning. This is not about winning a championship. This is about advancing significantly in the playoffs, given they've lost in the first round 3 years in a row.
Yeah, I'm all in. I'm totally taking advantage of this. I can sacrifice the future. I'm happy. Like, okay, well, if I can go high here this year, what am I willing to sacrifice on the back end? That's fine. I'll eat a couple of horrible seasons if that's what it comes to, because nothing in the NBA can't be changed too much. The money, like I said, I think it was a fair and honest thing to do to the guy. Like, take your hit. Ron Wolf, I was just saying to the fellows before you, Ron Wolf said one time when we were visiting, he said, listen, when you realize that you've made a mistake, and I'm not saying like Dame was not a mistake, but it wasn't working. What they wanted and what they hoped wasn't coming to fruition, and it wasn't going to magically come to fruition this year. So do that. Do right by the guy who came here and invested pretty well in the program in Dame, but get it, swallow the 120 $12, $113.
Well, I want to ask Wendy, as you call him, because you're close friends. He's going to be on a 5-3. I don't think he'll have an example of any team ever doing this, but we'll see.
Yeah. And then, by the way, we talk about, like, in terms of Achilles, right? So you weren't going to have him anyway this year.
Right.
Right. He's lost to the year. Another guy lost. So, yeah, I'm fine with what's happening.
And they created a Drew Holiday. Did you know that? They created a Drew Holiday. What was the biggest problem with losing Drew Holiday? One, losing him, and then he goes to Boston. Miles Turner is Drew Holiday the second.
I'm not sure I'm going to go quite there, but
you get a guy like if Indiana. Well, they probably didn't care that he went to Milwaukee because they don't think Milwaukee's that good. But it's one thing to lose a guy and then to lose him to somebody competing with. But anyway, so it's you view that as a little stretch. I think it's exactly the same thing, though. He may not be as good or as important. But anyway, I mean, you think of what they're thinking in Indianapolis now. When we get our guy back, we just lost another important piece.
Yep. Because you can't afford to keep him.
Right.
Or at least because of Halliburton coming in the future. So, as I sat at dinner last night and watched, oh, there goes Lopez. And I'm thinking, okay, I think we can probably do better than him, or at least we can replace him in some way, shape, or form. I didn't know they could replace him with this quality and this caliber, right? Like, that's a win. I'll take that 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I don't think they ever would have done it if those two teams weren't missing players because of Achilles, because I don't think it would have been worth it. But they also, it also fits, and while I was wrong by saying Giannis is going to leave, everybody should understand that I'm totally right about how the possibility of it was so strong, because everything they're doing is to get Giannis to be happy, and next year, there's no... Wait a year. Come on, Giannis. Let's just wait a year. Then we'll have Damian Lillard back. Plus, I want to ask you this. Two stories out that Lillard didn't know about it, but they asked Giannis about it, and he apparently was helping to get Turner. But I don't think Giannis thought that by getting Turner, they were going to lose Lillard. That's my view of it. They just said, can you help us get Turner? And I said, sure, I'd love to have Turner. I don't think they told him, if we get Turner, Damian's out for good. But that's just my guess. What do you think? How do you like my theory there? Because they people are saying, well, both stories can't be true. Sure, they can be true. They wanted Giannis to help get Turner. That doesn't mean they told him, oh, by the way, if we get him, Damian's gone. I don't believe they necessarily would have told him that. What's your
view? Maybe he's not thinking that far ahead like you are. Maybe he's just like, you know what? He's not here next year. I can.
No, I want Turner. Who? If anybody was Giannis, wouldn't you want Turner on your team? Given Lopez gone, of course.
Everybody keeps going on to this thing. We got to make Giannis happy. If Giannis is happy, the guy's been there a decade, right?
Yes.
Have you ever seen when he's unhappy?
No,
the last
I
time
have
he
not.
Went, yeah, this stinking team, I don't want to be any part of him, right? Like, I think he is the absolute antithesis of James Harden, who will let you know constantly when he's unhappy. It's not my fault. I'm doing my, and then as soon as it's bad, I'm going to tank my way out of town. Like, I have no indication that that's him. And we keep talking about this. We got to keep Giannis happy. We got to keep Giannis happy. I have seen nothing in this guy's personality, nothing that he's shown us over a decade is that he won't play his heart out, play his rear end off, give every time to do the best he can. And I don't know that he's going to be anything less than that guy.
Well, I mean, that can still be the case. It's just
so long as I
but,
keep.
But you're right. As long as he's still on the team, so any assessment as to however he felt about anything doesn't matter because he's here.
And as long as I keep showing him that we are trying to reformulate this team because, okay, we lost guys. Let's bring in Dame Lillard to see if that works. Nope, that didn't work. All right, how do we kind of pivot and keep going? Like, they haven't done anything to show him, like, we've just stripped the team down. You're screwed. It's going to be your guy. It's just going to be you, and the rest we've given up. Like, I think they keep showing that they're making efforts to win, and I don't know that any effort to win is like, well, we're just trying to make Giannis happy. Well, if you're trying to win, you're trying to make everybody happy. It's not just him. You're trying to make the fan base, and even the 12th guy on the bench wants to win. So I don't know that we keep thinking like, are we trying to placate him and make Giannis happy? Like, I don't know. He doesn't seem like a guy that you have to, as long as you show him that you're making the effort. I don't think he's a guy that you have to worry about it.
All right. Well, my answer to that is I may not agree with you in terms of the importance of doing these things to keep him, but it doesn't matter. He's here. He's still here. And until or unless he leaves, they're doing everything right, or he's never won. It really doesn't matter. But they're,
it was rights for 3 years.
What?
It was rights for 3 more years. Now's not the time to bail.
I think if you would ask knowledgeable people in the NBA, all of them would tell him it was time to bail. I don't know if.
Of course they would.
Well, but they don't. But they have no interest one way or the other. They're just telling you.
Where does that work, though?
What?
Okay, good. So our boy, Kevin Durant bailed, and he's been searching. How many guys bail, and what's it get him?
I mean, he got Durant something in Golden State.
But he didn't bail at that point. He was a made commodity, and he was ready to be done there. You know,
LeBron.
I'm talking about unhappy guys. I'm talking about unhappy.
Well, I will agree with you. I don't care if it's happy, unhappy, whatever. They either go or they don't go. The action speaking on. So the Durant is the best example of no value whatsoever. James Harden, very little value. So. Yes, if you have, but I'll accept all the abuse necessary because he's still here, and until he leaves, if he ever leaves, then that will be the determining factor to look at why it happened. But
Paul George chased it, didn't work. Kyrie chased it, didn't work. Just, you know, I think there's a lot of those guys.
Yes, I think that's accurate.
All of them showed some degree of unhappiness, none of which Giannis has.
By the way. We are having Brian Windhorst on at 5:30, so Jason is not on this evening. So
it's good. Well, we got 3 weeks till training camp. What's he going to tell us?
He always has something.
I know.
But this is we got Wind. Now you know. You know him. You call him Windy.
I do.
Okay. This
everyone knows it's Windy. It's like the group, the association.
Yes, I'm old enough to know that. I did not know that. So anybody at ESPN would call him Windy.
I don't know if they do or not. You know he's married to a Missouri journalist.
I did not know that. I did look this up. He lives in Omaha.
Yeah, that's where she's from.
Oh, that's why he's there.
I believe that's where she's from.
I know.
She's a Missouri Journalism School grad.
Maureen Fulton. Do you know her personally? Have you met her? This is good.
I do not. And I've never met his mother who, you know, taught at St. Mary's St. Anthony's or St. Vincent St. Anthony's, whichever was the one that.
In Akron?
Yeah, she was. So he went there and his mom taught there or was.
Wow. St. Vincent St. Mary High School in Akron, Ohio.
Yeah, so he was there with LeBron and then his mom was on the faculty there.
You said you have many questions for him. I was listening to you.
But none of those may be basketball related.
That's fine. What's your first question?
I don't know how he's doing.
What's your first? We don't care about all that stuff. Come on.
I want to know how he handled the traffic in Omaha during the College World Series.
You know what I want to ask him?
I want to know how much he knew about Malika Andrews and her husband when I had no clue with Dave McMenamin. I feel like I was left.
You didn't know they were married?
I found out they were married. I didn't know they were seeing each other, which apparently was fairly common knowledge, but I had no idea.
I wouldn't feel bad about that. I want to ask, here's my one question for Windy.
What do you got?
If NIL had existed at the time, how much money would LeBron James have made in high school? 50 million? You think he'd have made 50 million?
Well, it depends because now the NIL deals, high school not every state allows.
Right, but if the state allowed it, and it was allowed in some states, I'm sure it's probably in Florida. Could he have made 50 million in high school? I think he could have.
No.
No? All right. What's your number?
I'm trying to think. Like, the number of you, first you got to sign with the school, and then if you're in that state with the school, and there's only about half a dozen of them, you know, I don't know. You know, good on him, but I don't think it's 50 million.
All right, 20 million, 5 million, $8.
Who would have paid? Who would have paid the 50 million?
All the networks, all the things he would have done, all the different commercials he could have done with various companies.
We'll have to ask him if the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company.
Sure. No, oh, come on. LeBron was off the charts. I don't know what, as a freshman. How many people would have done commercials with him where he would get the money?
Black Diamond Grill, because they deal only in cash.
Who, what?
The Black Diamond Grill. They only deal in cash in Akron.
Oh, you're aware of that restaurant?
Are you?
Hey, I don't know anything about Akron. Why would I know anything about Akron?
That's where Firestone is and Jack Nicklaus's room in the
fire. I understand. I understand. Fired the golf tournament, but I had forgotten the specifics of Akron. Now, that is nothing. Akron exists for only one reason now. It's where LeBron James grew up, right? There's nothing even close to that for Akron, right? If Jack Nicklaus flew in Akron over Firestone, maybe, but like Akron. LeBron James grew up there. What's
Jack's
number five?
He's strictly a Columbus guy.
I know, but I'm saying there's nothing in Akron that LeBron James grew up there is like 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, right?
He's first, and there's nobody in the next three positions. After that, you got to come up with sixth place.
Yeah, I think so. Do you have anything?
Well, it's the rubber capital of the world.
That's 10.
Right.
It's also known for the Soapbox Derby.
Oh, really? The Soapbox Derby?
Oh,
that was in Akron?
It's also the birthplace of Alcoholics Anonymous.
All of those are no better than 10.
Yeah, well, that's
I
no
give
good.
Now You're LeBron like the top 9 spots. wow, the Soapbox Derby.
I remember that all the time on
yes.
Wild World.
That was huge. Yes. Wow, I stand.
Where's Jeff Quindy if he knows where that hill is?
Oh, no, did he compete? That's what you want to know, right?
I don't know that he doesn't strike me as a Soapbox Derby guy.
If you say so. Now we got all more questions. He's coming up in a few minutes. We'll break second quarter before Windy. Next.
This is the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the John Anderson Homer Hour. Windy, Brian Windhorst of ESPN will be on at 5:30. How much will he say LeBron James would have made if NIL was possible in high school, as it is now in some states? How old was Windy when he first was a beat writer for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Am I supposed to know that?
No, guess. How old was he when he first, according to this, my information on him, how old was he when he became a beat writer for the Cleveland Cavaliers in Akron?
Probably 24 or 5.
You nailed it! Yes, perfect. 25. How old is he now?
37.
47. He's been doing it 22 years.
He's not a rookie, man. He knows his stuff.
Yes. And a graduate of Kent State. Who's the most famous graduate of Kent State? I think Thurman Munson played baseball there.
Also
Steve
from
Stone. Thurman Munson
I
was from Akron?
Probably, yeah.
How did you know that?
By the way, and you know that Steph Curry and LeBron were born in the same hospital in Akron.
I
don't know. Yeah, these are the things you learn. They played in 3 straight finals. You learn some stuff. I think the most recognizable Kent State graduate would probably be Nick Saban.
Oh.
Michael Keaton is also from Kent State, too. The actor Michael Keaton.
He's bigger than Saban, don't you think?
Lou Holtz also, I think, also.
Come on.
What?
Nick Saban, right? Wasn't Nick Saban, Jack Lambert, Gary Pinkel all played on the same team.
Were they any good?
Yeah, they were pretty good, yeah. They all played for Don James.
Played in the MAC. That was in the MAC.
Great team.
Come on, how good could they have been in the MAC?
There was no MAC in the 70s, was there?
Yes, because everybody at Wisconsin knew about the MAC because Dave McLean came from Ball State. Steve Yoder came from Ball State. The first thing you did early in the season was whoop up on some team from the MAC, and every once in a while you'd get beat.
We're going to beat up on the guy from Muncie's, and then we're going to hire their coaches.
Well, no, what they learned was that some of those teams were pretty good. Wasn't like an easy win, but yeah. Illinois? Was Northern Illinois in the MAC, too, I think? It used to be another gimme.
Little different.
Bowling Green, Kent State, Toledo.
So, Kent State, so you know how. Jack Lambert, who goes on to be one of the great linebackers.
Yes, he does.
NFL, gets his job. So, and he played some defensive end, some down, hand in the dirt kind of thing when he was at Kent. So this quoted Gary Pinkelman, it's absolutely true. I've read up on the guy. His name escapes me. But they have this defensive lineman, and he is very, very good. He's so good, he is keeping Lambert on the bench. And
well, that's not
there's
possible.
So they get hired for local security for a Rolling Stones concert because they take the big guys. Mick Jagger likes the guy, hires him full time as his security guard, his bodyguard with the Rolling Stones. He leaves the football team.
Oh, he's been with Mick. You read this in Wikipedia. That's a lie.
He has been with Mick ever since, and Lambert slides in and becomes his NFL hero because he was on the bench. The defensive end leaves. He goes with Mick Jagger. Lambert goes in, boom, he's a Steeler, and the rest is history.
You know, yes. The only part of this story that I don't believe, there's only one part of the story I'm just not going to believe. You know what that is?
What's that?
He was better than Lambert. I ain't buying that. I ain't buying that. There's no way. Was Lambert a freshman then? What year was Lambert? At 8 years old, Lambert was better than the guy. What?
I don't have that.
But you assume that Lambert was very young. I mean, come on. Guy's better than Lambert at Kent State?
I'm going to figure this out. He was right, bench.
I'm going to look into that. But yeah, that's okay. A great story about the Rolling Stones. And that part I believe, sure. You're just playing at some dinky Mac school. Of course you'd go work for Mick Jagger. Come on.
And the guys on the bench.
I'm getting old. I'm worried. It is the Mac, right, Pebble?
Yeah, the Mac, the Mid-American Conference.
Mid-American Conference. All right, let's see if I had it. Like Northern Illinois, I think, was in the Mac, too, back then. Yeah,
they still are.
Still are, but now you don't even count. Toledo, Bowling Green, Ohio.
Western.
Miami Michigan, of Ohio.
Western Michigan.
Miami of Ohio,
yes.
Central. Just straight Ohio, right? The Bobcats, weren't the guys
Ohio was in there. I don't think back then Central Michigan or Eastern Michigan were in it. I think, but I don't. I'm talking about in the 70s and when you would just, the first three games were three MAC schools, so you'd be 3-0. Then you go from there.
That came later. They didn't dip down to that for a long time. They all played Big Eight. They all played Big Eight or Big.
I go back and look. I claim in the 70s.
They played other what would be considered Power Five schools all the time.
All right, let's get back to the Bucks since Wendy's going to. Do we need to break before Wendy comes on? All right. How, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you? Are 10 being happiest with the move by the Bucks? What number do you give it?
Probably 7 or 8, because I don't think there's a 10 out there. I don't think there was anybody that, you know, there's anything you could do that you're like, oh, we have now just really shifted the entire tectonic plates of the league, you know? So I think considering what was out there and what was available and what they could do, I think they did a great job. And I'm down with that.
I'm certainly at a 7. And in fact, the way you just discussed it, if you know it's impossible to do anything, then a 7 might actually be a 10. Given in all the discussion about what they were going to do, no one ever brought up just pay everything for Damian Lillard and take it from there. I didn't hear that from anyone. Did you? As an option, given all the difficulties with the new salary cap and stuff, no one said that. I didn't hear. Did you hear anybody say that? This is the way they could get somebody. You just got to pay off Lillard and release him. I didn't hear that. Did you? Maybe I was. All right. Okay, I feel better now. The professor didn't hear it. Wendy from ESPN next.
You're listening to the Homer Hour on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
The best 60 minutes of your day, the John Anderson Homer Hour, joined now by Brian Windhorst of ESPN, otherwise known as Windy. Windy, I will have John introduce you because he should, but I am curious. Do you know the best high jump ever from John Anderson?
God. I don't know the worst one.
7 2½. Dude did 7 2½. And he never told you?
That's pretty impressive, I have to say. I would not have believed he could have done more than 6 7.
I know. I look at him every time I see him on TV and I go, there's no way. There's no way. But I checked. He did it. And now, 7 2½. I'm just embarrassed you never told all the people at ESPN. Pass it along now, Brian or Windy. Does everybody call you Windy or just people at ESPN?
Yeah, I can't stop them.
All right, okay. Well, John Anderson can do whatever he wants on this show. Take it away, 7 2½. Can't believe you never told me.
It's been a while. How are you?
It's good to hear your voice. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. I keep bragging to people. I'm like, you know, forget him. He married his wife's a Missouri journalism grad. This, you guys are burying the lead here with Mr. Basketball, right?
That's true. That is true.
Good Lord. So I guess when my boy Horst got re-signed to GM, he took it seriously and decided he was going to do some work. What was your analysis of the Dame get out and Turner in? Because I think it shocked most everybody that even was Bucks fans in this thing.
I was flabbergasted. I'll bet the Pacers were pretty darn surprised too. We've never seen this type of maneuver in the NBA. I've started to understand the strategy more over the last 4 or 5 hours. I still think it's audacious. It's brazen. They've already robbed from Peter to pay Paul in the draft, and now they're robbing from Paul to pay Peter to tell Sam. I mean, they're basically spending salary cap money in 2030. But I would tell you that, I was on the front line in Cleveland in 2010 when they lost LeBron James. And if the Cavs had thought of something like this that could have prevented them from losing LeBron James, they would have done it. So I certainly respect the aggression, and that goes from Wes Edens to Jimmy Haslam to John Horst, because the ownership doing this is, you don't do this without, ownership support. And so I would say that I'm a little bit concerned that it doesn't really move the needle. Because while Miles Turner is an excellent player, he's not dramatically better than Brook Lopez. I mean, he's younger, and you're going to get more out of him. And, he definitely outplayed Brook in the playoffs. There's no doubt about that. And he fits with Giannis because he's going to stretch the floor, and he's going to defend the rim, and he's going to allow Giannis to play more free. Like, it's definitely a very good fit. But they were fifth in the East last year, and this move, maybe if it works out great, they can be fourth, So, that's the only thing I would say. Like, I want to praise them up and down for pulling it off. And it certainly, it also damaged the team in front of them. Like, that was a double, a double advantage. They hurt one of their big rivals, but I don't think they were going to be in front of them during this season. So, I really think it's pretty remarkable they pulled it off. I'm just worried that they're really taking out a heavy mortgage, and I'm not sure what the return's going to be.
So Homer and I have discussed two things. One, you talked about the blow to the Pacers, but the Pacers are already down one guy with Halliburton. Now they're down two. So I feel like that puts them ahead. And the Celtics, in what they're ever trying to retool with around the Tatum thing, also I think gives them a shot. The question I have here, though, is I feel like part of what allows them to do this, too, is the nature of the superstar on their team. And I think Giannis is a unique superstar in his selflessness and in the way he carries himself. And just he is just a different cat. Could you get away with this if you had somebody that was a more ego-driven superstar?
I think he wants to be in Milwaukee. I think I've seen star players look for reasons to leave. I think it's the exact opposite with Giannis. He's looking for reasons to stay. And, you know, the Bucks have given him reasons, you know, for the last 5-6 years now. And this is another reason for him to stay. And so I think it says a lot about him and his connection with the community that he wants to make this work. He doesn't want to feel like he's not giving himself a chance to win. And he also doesn't want to leave. And so I think the Bucks, by making this move, help him feel better about it. And look, I can't predict what's going to happen. I can't predict the health of the league. I can't predict the health of the East. The Bucks have been given time after time after time unfair injury situations. What has happened to them for the last 3 or 4 years is downright unfair. And it's unfair to Giannis, and he deserves better, and it has nothing to do with anything other than bad luck. And the injuries happening when they did, you know, Chris Middleton situations and even Giannis himself, it's just not fair. So I really respect that that they're trying to extend the window and exhaust everything. I respect the front office and ownership and Giannis and everybody. I just don't see a championship team here. You know, you guys know what a championship team looks like. The Bucks have had them before multiple times. Even when they didn't win, there were years when they were championship teams. I don't see a championship team. I don't say that to be mean. I just call it like I see it. They haven't replaced Dame. They've replaced Brooke. They haven't replaced Dame. So they're still behind. And yes, the injuries in the East have made the pathway a little bit easier. But look, if Giannis reports in the fall happy and engaged, it's a huge win. And that's where whatever you can take from that, I think they've given themselves a great chance for that.
Brian, I have a question. Tomer here. The audacious embracing, I think it is all because of next year. One, Giannis will be happy, but they have a one-year chance. They're only going to have for 1 year. And your mention about the stretch, the highest ever was apparently $27 million. They did $113 million, which means this is stupid by normal NBA standards. Everybody would say that because no one's ever come close. But if you get that chance next year because two better teams aren't as good, then you go for it. Without those two injuries, I don't think they do this. What do you say?
Yeah, the problem is it's not two injuries, it's three, and the Bucks have one of them, you know. And so I would just say this. This is the strategy. This is the best way I can explain the strategy. In addition to extending Giannis's window with the Bucks, Dame Lillard had $50 million on the books that was useless. He was not going to play or really contribute this year. $50 million is useless. Now it's $20 million, and they add another $30 million, you know, $27, whatever it is. And now you, in that same salary slot, that $50 million salary slot, you have a franchise center. And it'll still be that case in the next year and the next year. So that it's going to cost $50 million, essentially, for Miles Turner each year, because you're paying Dame's $23 million and the $27 million that you're going to owe him on average. It's going to fluctuate a little bit, but the average is going to be $50 million. So you're getting 50, 50, 50, 50. And this year you're going to get zero for that $50 million. And next year, who knows? I don't know what Dame's going to look like. Were you going to get $10 million in value, $20 million? I don't know. Now you're going to get Miles Turner in value in those next two slots when you weren't sure what you were going to get with Dame. And then with the salary cap going up, $23 million in 2027 and 28, 29 is not the same. It's a lesser percentage of the cap than it is this year when you've maximized it. So I'm describing some of the strategy in addition to just the vibes, and you want to do it for Giannis and you want to use everything out. There is some calculated strategy here. I can't tell you that it's strategy that's going to make sense. And I'm going to tell you, I can already close my eyes and I can see this radio station having a party in 2030 when Dame comes off the books, just like it happened with other guys where it drives them crazy. It drives their fans crazy. He's going to still be on their books, and that's going to feel that way. But in 2030, $23 million is going to be a much less piece of the cap. So it is audacious. It is not insane. It is audacious and there's a risk, but it is not insane. There is some way that you can explain it. I don't think many owners would go for it. The owner of the Bucks or the owner of the Pacers wouldn't pay $27 million for Miles Turner, much less $50 million. So not everybody's going to do this, but I can see what they're doing. I'm just worried that it's not going to be the needle move that maybe is really needed.
Do they have any money? How much money do they have left? And who could you would suggest they get to do the best job at replacing Lillard?
They do have money left, and I don't know if they're going to spend it all because right now they're out of the luxury tax. And that's one thing that happened here. They got out of the tax, and there's even more money that they can recoup from that, or they can reduce the dead money down. Let's see who else becomes available. There might be other players who get buyouts in the coming days, not like a Dame buyout, but yes, they are in position to continue to add talent. This was a move that really opened up some parameters and some avenues that I didn't think were going to be there. So, again, I give credit for the audacity. I'm not sure everybody's going to be in love with the result, but I've also been around long enough to know that I can't predict the result. And so they definitely have stayed relevant, and they've broken the hearts of a lot of people today. They've broken the hearts of the Pacers fans who lost their 10-year franchise center, and they've broken the hearts of some teams that were dreaming of trading for Giannis in the next month.
And so Damian Lillard is the luckiest player in the history of the NBA, right?
Would you like free money and freedom?
Yes. I would take that as a yes. Is there anything even close? Can you think of another player given what he was given today?
I would just say he should not dance because he's got the – you don't want to re-injure the foot. But if he wanted to dance, I could see that.
So we keep talking about the teams in front of them, right? The Bucks is all – but you should check the rearview mirror too. What do I think of people like the Pistons and the Magic and what they've done?
Well, yeah. So, you know, in my view in the East, Cleveland and New York are sort of the top tier. And then you have sort of this mid-tier, which I put the Bucks in it, the Magic, the Hawks, the Pistons, the Bucks. Those are sort of the top six teams that I see. I think the Pacers are going to go back. I think the Celtics are going to go back. I think the Celtics are in danger of being a play-in team this year. So are the Bucks able to finish third out of that? Do they finish fifth? It may be close. A couple of days ago, I might have said that they were not. They were at the back end of that group. So, and look, this year, the team that was in fourth won the East. The team that was in fourth hit its stride, found its pathway, and was one win from winning the championship. So when you see something like that, and you know, you see that team that won the East, that they had depth and they had size, and this is a move that adds depth and size in addition to all the key pieces they've re-signed over the last couple of days. Like, again, it's not an insane – some people I've seen calling this insane. It's not insane. It's audacious. I don't know what the percentage chance to work is, but they are in a better position today than they were yesterday, and Giannis certainly has to respect that.
7.5, can you ask Wendy the difference between insane and audacious? I didn't go to Kent State.
Well, audacious is one is bold and daring, and the other one is completely nuts.
Oh, all right.
Is that a fairly good summation, Brian?
Yeah, the problem is sometimes audacity turns to insanity. But right now, we're sticking with audacity.
We'll keep looking for an update. And lastly, where is LeBron James playing next season? You can pass if you want, or you can answer.
He's playing at the place that is paying him $53 million. And
that would be the Lakers. And I did forget this. If NIL had been allowed in high school when LeBron was in high school, I claim he would have made $50 million in high school.
I don't know about $50 million, but he would have been a millionaire because even in the 2000s, the team that he was playing for was selling out, 18,000 seat arenas over and over and was on television. Like, they were selling pay-per-view. His worth was a seven-figure worth. It was fragmented. Some of it was going to the high school association. Some of it was going to various promoters. Some of it was going to the school. It wasn't like there was one person that was holding it back from them. But even then, it was repugnant that they suspended him for taking a $500 jersey or whatever, like a $300 jersey and a $200 jersey. There was a seven-figure, and if it wasn't seven figures, it was 800,000. There was a machine that he was that was pouring money out of him, and the repugnant old white guys that ran the Ohio High School Athletic Association said he was suspended. And it was one of the most ridiculous things I'd ever seen. And thank goodness a judge threw it out. And it's one of the things that's aged ridiculously and is embarrassing. And by the way, the people in Ohio, where I'm from, still don't let high school kids make NIL. And I think that's repugnant too. So that's how I feel about it. Thank you for asking.
My pleasure. Thanks for coming on. And most importantly, you know that John Anderson did 7, 2.5. That's what I'm most proud of this interview. Thanks, Brian.
I'm going to go say it on SportsCenter.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be watching. Next. Thanks. The best 60 minutes of your day, the John Anderson Homer Hour. Wendy said he will mention 7, 2.5. On SportsCenter, John Anderson, do you think he will, or was he just putting up with me?
I think he was just putting up with you. I just came back from the NCAA championships 2 weeks ago. Like, it would mean a lot more if I had won anything, right? Like, it's your obsession with it is amazing. I try not to be insulted every time you go, I look at that guy, well, that's just impossible. because you're looking at a 6-year-old guy, not a 20-year-old guy.
I'm so looking, and no, yes, off. But it's not like, because you're incapable of appreciating how incredibly good that is. But
listen, I look at you and I go, that guy played on the tennis tour, even the satellite tour? That's impossible.
By the way, can I tell you this?
When I worked in Tulsa, one of the guys, he had been the coach, tennis coach at Tulsa, and then he went to take a racket club job, and it was great because, you know, he was out of athletics. But he brought a satellite event to Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched these guys, right? And they are literally playing for a fraction of a world ranking point.
Yeah.
And I looked at them and I thought, my God, those people, how good are the really good guys if those are the satellite tours? It's like going to watch a Corn Ferry event and you watch those guys play golf and you're like, how good is the other guy if they can't make it on tour? I watched those guys on the satellite tour and was amazed and thought, how can there be anybody in the world better than these guys? And they're playing on chain link fence courts, calling their own, you know, it was amazing.
Yeah. I wasn't at that level. Wendy had kind of an edge. Like, there was some salt there. That's an edge that I don't necessarily feel I've seen him on TV.
I bring that out of people.
Audacious versus insane. All right. I mean, that's like a discussion of any topic. All right. Was what they did audacious or insane? That could be a segment. And repugnant.
There's your poll question.
I had no, it's too, this is not an Ivy League school, not even Missouri. This is IUSB, buddy. Deal with it. And repugnant. I had no idea he would create some strong salt over that issue. And I don't. Am I correct? There was an edge there that I love. You know, about he wasn't going to say to us that the Bucks did the greatest thing in the world because he doesn't think they did. And think of that. The highest amount in terms of delaying paying it off was $27 million ever. And the Bucks did $113 million. That means no one brought this to us because no one thought it was possible that the Bucks would ever do this as a way to free up money.
I don't think even 27 total. I think in a year somebody had done that.
No, remember it was $9 million for 3 years for 27. Okay. Hold on. I have it here somewhere. But it was some insignificant player, too. It wasn't even...
Because they did have, remember when they had the one collective bargaining agreement year when they signed it, it might have been not this deal, the one prior when the money from ESPN and TNT was so big that they wanted to stretch the salary cap out and the guy's like, no, give it to us all right away. And they gave him like the free pass where you could just cut any guy and it wouldn't count against you.
But I mean, he made a great point. You matched up Lopez. Who's Damian Lillard? Well, the issue is maybe there'll be addition by subtraction as to...
PBA. Could be Bo Melton. Might be Jaden Reed.
So, repugnant, audacious, insane we've used before. I'm not sure.
Big words on the show.
I don't believe repugnant and audacious have ever been used on the same show since I started in 1980. Make sure to add them to your class. Get it into your class, Professor, okay? You get him into your class, I'll cut down on my 7 2.5s. I'm not going to eliminate it.
We're big on vocabulary.
We're
big on using the right word.
Hey, and watch that kid from South Africa. He looks like a young Jack Nicklaus. He's got majors. Guaranteed. I don't even know his name. Majors. Guaranteed. Not one, more than
he's
one.
Got to be like Jack. He's got to get some shorts and some slacks that fit.
John Anderson, golf on the tee. Next. Wonder if they'll talk about it. That's the